Welcome to MAP, the bi-weekly market access podcast provided by Mars Market Access and Pricing Strategy, which is your healthcare consultancy in the German-speaking markets. Mars makes it as easy as possible for you to get your pharmaceutical, medtech, or digital health product to the market and, of course, get the price it deserves. My name is Stefan Walzer. I'm the founder of Mars and a health economist by training and working in the fields of market access, reimbursement, pricing, and health economics already since 2004. Additionally, I founded the consultancy P&N Pricing and Negotiations in Healthcare based in Toronto, Canada, which supports companies and individuals globally by coaching, simulations, and training, especially on negotiations. This service is including our innovative virtual reality simulation program and is part of the Negotiation Lab. And now let's learn about the market access and reimbursement systems around the globe. So welcome back to another, I think, will be coming a great episode on market access. Today, I'm happy to welcome Dipti Tankala from Canada. And I think the idea for today is really discussing a bit about career options, career pathways in market access. So quite broad field. But before we maybe jump into those kind of details, Dipti, would be great if you could introduce yourself as well, just quite briefly.
Sure. Thank you, Stefan, for inviting me to your podcast. I'm really happy to be here. Guten Morgen to everyone listening from Germany. And as Stefan already said, I'm from Canada. And I studied at the University of Toronto, and I did my Doctor of Pharmacy degree there. And while I was a student, I used to work in a community pharmacy. And I loved working there, speaking to patients, but there were two complaints that used to come up pretty commonly. So one was the patient that had, you know, an illness for which nothing was helping. Nothing in our pharmacy could help them with that illness, and they would just complain and struggle. Then there was the second patient for which we did have the drug that would help them, but unfortunately, it wasn't funded and it wasn't something that they could afford, so they were stuck. So when I thought about these patients, I felt, as a pharmacy student or as a pharmacist, there's really not much that I can do because I'm limited by what's on my pharmacy shelves. So that's when I got inspired to start my career within the pharmaceutical industry, which brings innovative new therapies that are life-changing for patients to the market. So I started my career initially within medical information of various pharmaceutical companies. And then halfway through my career, I switched over into market access. And that's where I am right now. I'm a market access and HUR manager working in the oncology space. So I'm happy to speak more about my background and some tips that I have to share with future market access professionals.
I think that's really fascinating. And I mean, what I normally, let's say, have had in mind, I mean, a lot of, let's say, market access persons have basically kind of pharmacy background, right? Like medical and some few as well economics. But I think as you just described, I think there was probably as well another kind of drive for you behind that. And then I think it's also the kind of question, as you said as well, it was not the direct jump into the market access health economic area. So, I mean, just explain us a bit more, and not so much the drive. I think everybody understood it, right? It was the two complaints, but which were the kind of key, let's say, elements which helped you maybe as well to finally come into that kind of market access roles? Mentorship maybe, or was it also sometimes a bit more network maybe what you had? I mean, what was the main thing looking backwards basically what helped you to get into that role?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely for sure. I mean, you know, even becoming a pharmacist, the whole goal with that is to see how can you help people, right? So that was always the driving force for my career. When I was in medical information, that was early on in my career. And so what I used to do then was to do one-on-one coffee chats with people from all in different departments in the pharmaceutical company. So that's when, you know, I spoke to what does somebody in regulatory affairs do? What does someone in marketing do? What does someone in market access do? So during this time, as I started to pick up information about different roles, I started to have an interest in market access. And at the same time, in parallel, I was also very fortunate to have a mentor who was actually within medical affairs, but she as well had an interest in market access and HUR. So what she suggested was to do a small stretch assignment to get exposure into the market access role. And that's when I realized, okay, I think this is definitely something that is aligned with the types of things that I want to do in my career, right? So at that time, I had to start thinking about, okay, so how can I make the switch from medical information to market access? And that's where I had to do a lot of things on my own to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was quite short, I think, how you described, but I think it has a lot of different elements in there, right? I think it basically starts with, I think what you just said, you know, I just had coffees with different people, which is that kind of, let's say, it's something a bit more like, whether maybe kind of bit of good luck, which, you know, people would as well need to drive it, because if you do not have coffee with people and want to understand what they're doing, you would maybe not even have opened up that kind of opportunity for you, right?
And I mean, honestly, that brings my first tip, I guess I would have for the audience is to basically have a very open mind and to seek opportunities, but not only to seek opportunities, almost, see how you can increase your luck surface area. So I don't know if this is a term that you've heard before, but by exposing yourself to various opportunities, sometimes they will just come to you, right? So taking that first step to go speak to someone to ask a question, maybe, in that specific moment, nothing will come out of it. But the fact that you've did that, one, you got some knowledge, and two, you've now created a connection, and that connection may come back to you in the future. So you've just increased the possibilities of something good happening in your career.
No, I fully agree. And I think the other thing, I think what I as well just learned from, let's say, probably as well different people. I mean, even if you don't get anything that's directly out of it, you still learn, right? I think because you as well said, and I did the same thing when I joined the pharma industry. I had a lot of coffee. That was the key advice by our head of department. Have as many coffee as you can. So, but I should work. Yes, have as many coffee as you have as you can, right? You meet a lot of people. And suddenly, as well in the future, you have had really good network. You could kind of as well influence decisions and whatever. But I think just coming back to, I think, your discussion, right? I think with that kind of information, what you get also from different people, I think you probably even put it into one sentence. You had coffee chats, and then you were quite fortunate because you had a mentor. It was that kind of combination of everything, right?
And okay, so this is something else I think really important I want to highlight, especially for new grads, people early on in their career. Don't get so hung up about having a mentor, okay? Because this is not something that will always be available to you, and you can succeed in your career, I think, by primarily having self-belief. You need to believe in yourself. You need to think about what is it that you want to do and how you can get there. Because it's always possible. A mentor, I think, is icing on the cake. It's a bonus because they can give you a lot of advice and expedite certain things for you. But if you don't have that, you can always, as I said, with the coffee chats, these people are not your official mentors, but they can still give you advice and direction. You have resources online like YouTube. There are people that are posting on so many different topics. Maybe it's not about market access, but maybe they give you examples about how can you be more assertive in meetings. Even things like that, where traditionally perhaps people used to go to their mentors for, you could find it online. You can rely on journaling. Like you can reflect on what went well, what did not go well, what do you need to improve on? How much have you improved? What else do you need to do? So don't worry too much if you don't have a mentor. Do everything else that is within your control. Believe in yourself. And then maybe one day you will find a mentor who will, make it even better for you, but don't feel disheartened if you don't have one, is what I will say.
I agree. I think it's a lot of different mindset things, what you just said. I think self-belief, I think, is very important. I mean, maybe some will first need to maybe also call it learn it, right? I mean, we probably all remember when we just got out of university. I mean, self-belief was probably there, right? But not so much probably into the kind of professional life. because we haven't had the experience all, right? But still, I think it's maybe something just remembering and probably also having in mind where you potentially want to go. But I think the most important thing is, I think what you said very early on is being open-minded, right? Because maybe you have the idea of market access, but even that is a very broad kind of area in the meantime, right? I mean, it has health economics, that health modeling, it's pricing, even within market access, right? Is it for a country? Is it for a region? Is it for a global kind of organization, whatever? A lot of different things. So I think being open-minded and just try to drive it, meet people. And I think another point, obviously, it's not only about your kind of mind and what you want, right? It's also the skills. I mean, what are the key skills or skill sets you would say are really important for two things? Maybe we can start with first, which is that they're getting into such a market access role. But I think the second is just generally probably to do such a kind of transition, because that's also not easy, right? I mean, you're let's say, developing yourself in an area, you're getting maybe even as a kind of expert, and then you're transitioning into a new area where you're suddenly back to be a maybe more kind of junior. So it's two different things, but maybe you
two
can
different things. Maybe I may not answer it in a clean way in the order that you asked me, but let me just go back to the open-mindedness aspect. Part of that, which is super crucial, is that you need to be willing to not perform perfectly, or in other words, you need to be willing to take a risk and be ready to feel uncomfortable. Because that's the only way that you can actually take action. You could be open-minded, you could be talking to everyone, and you can say, oh, great, I'd love to do this. But if you don't take that first step, which can feel really scary, then there's no point. So that is part of that transition that I had to go through, switching from medical information to market access, because I was going from my comfort zone, where I knew basically what to expect and I knew that I was good at what I was doing, to an area where I really didn't know how to succeed in market access, right? So even though I landed my first job, and I'll get to that, like how I got there, that willingness to encounter something unknown needs to be there. And then in terms of other mindset shifts, so one thing I would say is, whenever you're making a shift from something to something else, keep in mind your strengths and what you're good at, because it is very likely that those strengths will help you in your new role. So come from a position of, okay, I'm great. I have some really good things to offer. Yes, I don't know X, Y, Z, but I am coming with this. So come in with that, and then remind yourself of your new objectives, because I think a trap that you may fall into is, if you are reminding yourself of all the things that you're great at, it doesn't mean that you have your job is to do what you used to do. You need to transfer those skills. So an example I can give in medical information, a lot of the times you get asked questions and you answer it based on the information that is already available. You package it, you summarize it, you explain it to the person that's asking. In market access, and specifically in a health economics and outcomes research role, when you're asked a question or you come across a gap, you can't do your literature search and say, I didn't find anything. Okay, next. We can't do that. Here, your objective is, how can we get that answer? What kind of study can I design and put into place to get that answer, right? And why am I doing this? Because if I get this answer, then this will take me one step closer to getting the patient access to the drug. So essentially, to summarize what I just said, you have to remind yourself of what your new objectives are and shape what you do to meet those objectives. And then again, as I guess this is linked back to open-minded. So if there's one thing you're going to take away from this podcast, be open-minded. So the other thing would be a sponge. So when you come into a new role, you know, pick up everything you can, learn from everyone you can. You can learn what not to do as well as what to do and best practices. But at the same time, it's not enough to just be a sponge, because being a sponge to me is, it's kind of passive. Like, okay, something comes across, I'm going to grab it. You also, I can't think of the opposite metaphor to being a sponge. So maybe, Stefan, you can think of something to help me out. But you also have to be very much, external. You need to put yourself out there, ask those questions. I was thinking, like, be like a cookie monster, like grab things. Maybe that's not the best metaphor, but hopefully you get the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just thinking. I didn't know. I mean, could really be because at the end of the day, I think you're right. I mean, be a sponge, but a sponge is just not active. And I think a lot of if you want to need maybe to transition, you need to be active. I think that's very clear. I again, I think a lot of interesting kind of things in here. Maybe I want to touch base a bit on. Because we have spoken a lot, let's say, on positive things, right? Keep positive thinking, keep going, whatever. But I think you also said somewhere in a side sentence, it could feel as well scary sometimes. And that's
For sure.
natural. And I fully agree. You also said you need to, let's say, ready to feel uncomfortable, right? Leave your comfort zone because otherwise you will never get into another role or another position or whatever. Which were the kind of things where you were maybe sometimes. Maybe sitting in the evening in your chair, we're just thinking, I don't know if I really want to do that anymore because it was a really difficult day. Or, sometimes you could get even a week where you just, I didn't get really, or really didn't move forward with anything. I didn't get the response. Sometimes it's just getting tricky because ultimately it is again a new kind of thing. And maybe your skill set is not yet fully advanced to, let's say, really fulfill the whole role. So sometimes what was that and how maybe. How were you overcoming those kind of maybe issues or?
I will admit is that, when I knew that I wanted to enter market access, it didn't happen immediately with the snap of a finger. It took a couple of years, probably took longer than it should have. And that was driven by exactly what you're talking about, because I did have a little bit of fear about making that switch and having a bit of self-doubt of, oh, will I be able to do this? So, I mean, completely the opposite of the advice that I'm giving, but I'm giving that advice, I guess, because I went through that, right? Of not having that self-belief. So in order to not only help myself get more confident, but also to help entice a future employer to employ me within market access, that's when I ended up deciding to do a part-time master's in pharmaceutical policy at the University of Florida. And because for someone, and I think there's people out there that can relate, for someone like me, you like to know things, even if it's bookish knowledge, and because that gives you a little bit of confidence to make that a move. So that's something that I did, which helped me also when I started applying for market access roles, because people would look at my resume and say, "Hey, this person is a pharmacist. They don't really have a business background, and they've been in medical information. How could they go into market access?" But oh, they're doing a master's at the University of Florida. Okay, so I can see this person perhaps going into market access. So that's doing that degree is something that gave me a little bit of confidence and also helped me get the job.
Very good point. I agree. And I think at the end of the day, I think that's also what I tried to say when you were at the very early beginning saying you need to, let's say, have a good and strong self-belief, right? I mean, sometimes you are obviously falling back on just questioning yourself, questioning the path. I mean, that's, I think, quite natural. And I think it's good because you're as well critically, let's say, rethinking what you're currently doing. But sometimes you as well want, maybe even need to maybe shift as well a bit the kind of direction. But I think where I want to, let's say, move a bit further in the discussion, because one is a lot of the skill sets and mindsets is also, I think you just said, I mean, you were as well moving into part-time masters, meaning the educational background. I mean, you were a pharmacist, you added some more kind of business kind of background to it. I think quite interesting, you also said kind of bookish knowledge, probably very similar kind of person. If I'm going somewhere, I read first a couple of books that I at least know the background of it or the frames, whatever. But what is the most important educational? I don't want to know whether I want to say background, but probably, again, more the kind of frame set where you would say that helps you really a lot in market access for people who have maybe only have one core component and want to add something, or just generally if they would really be thinking to maybe move somewhere in the future into a market access role.
So I would say, first of all, for being successful in a market access role, and let's say that this is an affiliate role, like you're in a country, not a global role. The first thing you need to understand is what is the reimbursement pathway in your country? How does a drug get funded, and how does it get to a patient? So what are all of the stakeholders that are involved? What are all of the policies that impact this? And what are all of the processes that need to be followed? So that's the first step I think you would need to understand, because the overall goal of market access is obviously getting a drug funded. And in order to do that, that's something that you can always start with just doing a Google search. You can start by asking colleagues, asking your network. That's not something that you necessarily have to do a full course or degree on. But then there's some other things where, for me personally, I felt like doing either, doing that master's or even finding courses online, textbooks even helped. That aspect is the pharmacoeconomics and the health economics piece. Understanding basic things as what is an ICER, how do you calculate it, what goes into it, what impacts it. Those kinds of things may be a bit harder to just pick up on your own, and it may benefit by going to a program. And with respect to choosing a master's program, I mean, this is probably a whole separate conversation, but it depends on what you want to go into. If you want to be a health in more of a health economics role where you're actually building models from scratch, certain master's programs will not help you, because they're going to be very much high level, introductory, and broad. You'll have to find like a master's program that specializes in what you're interested in. So that's just one piece of advice I would give.
That's absolutely true. And I mean, just to maybe recap as well, I mean, if you're not sure which kind of direction you want to go, I think again, meet people and have a good coffee.
Yes, exactly. And also just start somewhere, like do a try to find a stretch assignment, or start somewhere, like start in market access, for example. While you're in market access, you may start to see that, oh wow, I really love working on pharmacoeconomic models. Let me maybe for my next role, let me move into something that specializes in there. So not to discount the amount of on-the-job learning. As I said, yes, there's lots of things that you can teach yourself and find online, but you can't replace what you encounter on the job.
No, fully agree. I think that's really interesting. Maybe making a bit of a step, maybe into your as well future direction. I mean, just imagine you would be getting into a senior role, meaning you would need as well to hire new team members, new colleagues, whatever. What would be the kind of skill sets, the background, anything else? What do you think is really important? What would be the kind of things would be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different things. I mean, I would obviously assume that whoever would be applying to the role has some sort of university background and education, so they have that academic rigor. I've seen so many different types of people in market access succeed. So you don't necessarily need to have a pharmacy background or a scientific background. It could be a business background, health economics background. So that particularly is not what's important, would be important, my personal opinion. I would say it would have to be the ability to learn and pick up new information, because even if you're a pharmacist, a lot of times when you're working in a drug company, you're talking about rare diseases that you never learned about in school, and drugs with mechanism of actions that you did not even know were possible. So whoever it is, they just need to be able to pick up whatever they need, ask the right questions, know where to find the answers. So there's that. So, being able to be a lifelong learner, being inquisitive. So that's number one. Number two, they need to have knowledge, as I said, about the reimbursement pathways in a country. So they need to have at least a little bit of understanding of that. The rest they would pick up on the job. I would look for good work ethic, because within market access, timelines are very important, and good quality work is really important to move things forward. Project management skills, that also falls into there. That's very important as well. And somebody that has at least the potential to think strategically. So this is a really key one. Every time I talk to people in market access, they say, oh, it's very important to have strategic thinking. Okay. One of the things that was, my fear about going into market access, because usually for medical information, it does not have that strategic type of strategic piece in that role. And also medical information professionals are, maybe it's like a bias, but people think that they don't have that skill. But at the same time, this is a very key component of market access. So you need to think about ways to demonstrate that you do have this. And going back to my earlier point, it's something that I personally think is something that you can learn. You can develop this. So definitely that's something that I would look for, even though I know that it could be a challenge for those that are stepping into market access. And then finally, somebody that is agile, because things keep changing. There's always new information. The study readout for your drug could get accelerated. It could get delayed. Your competitor, something could happen to your competitor that then impacts you. And then you need to be willing to disregard your entire plan and do something completely different. So I guess those are the different types of qualities and skills that I personally would look for someone in market access.
Yeah, I mean, I can only agree. But I mean, we're getting towards the end. I mean, and it was probably as well already lovely to speak to you. But if I would be a young professional or maybe still at university, I would probably be scared even of that list, even that I fully agree, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you need everything there, right? But maybe if you can, let's say, rephrase what we also had at the early beginning, right? Because we started obviously a bit more early in your career and everything. So maybe more for the young professional listening to us, what would be the maybe the kind of key three things they should be focused on? Because at the end of the day, it's very important as well what you said at the probably in the last sentence of that last answer of your last reply, basically, you can learn everything step by step. But what are the key things if you're starting your career? What would be those kind of things to focus on?
So let's imagine somebody that is in their final year of university. So for those people, I would say start researching the types of companies that you're interested in working for. Learn more about them. Use LinkedIn to your advantage and talk to people that are at those companies. So that's like one easy step that you can start with. Start looking also at job descriptions and look at things that are quick wins. Like, what is something that on that job description that you could easily pick up? Like, let's say there's a job description that says you need to know how to, okay, I'm just making this up, but you need to know how to use pivot tables on Excel. I don't know how to do that, but I can quickly learn how to do that, right? So you can do things like that, I would say at the beginning. And then finally, I would say just going back to the whole theme of this podcast is to be also open-minded when you're in that situation. Don't just say, hey, I want to work in the pharmaceutical industry and just be focused on that. Maybe you want to consider working for a consulting company. Maybe you want to work for the health technology assessment agency of your country or one of the payers. So get creative because a lot of unique experiences could actually help you later down in your career because you can pick up things that you never knew you could.
Exactly. And I think the big kind of theme of the talk was probably as well be open-minded. And I love that one. I think a lot of those things can basically just be put under that kind of umbrella. So yeah, I think Dipti, it was great speaking to you. A lot of good advice. I think people would probably need to listen to that twice at least. So yeah, I mean, thank you again for all of the insights and looking forward as well to maybe another kind of discussion in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Stefan, for inviting me. I'm really happy that I was able to share a little bit from my own journey to perhaps help those that are early on in their career. And if anybody ever needs any advice, they can feel free to reach out to me online and I'd be happy to chat.
Perfect. Thank you, Dipti.
Thank you.
What a great other podcast episode together with Dipti Tankala today. And the area today a bit more what we haven't had in the past was more career pathways or career development in the area of market access. So what is it all about? I think the most important things, I think Dipti said a couple of times, be open-minded and
Why is that? Because obviously the area of market access, the requirements, the pathways, the regulations are just simply constantly changing. And hence you still need anyway to be open-minded, even if you are already in the market access area. I think another important component, what Dipti as well mentioned, and I fully agree, I think, with all what she said, is also the content knowledge. Even if you want to, let's say, move from one other area into market access, health economics, or if you want to maybe further develop your career in market access while you're already in that area, you need to further develop your skill set in terms of content. Not only because requirements are changing over time, but especially also because you need that in order to really be strategic. I think as well, another important consideration, what she as well said, if you are working in that area, you as well need to be somehow a strategic, open, agile kind of thinker. So ultimately, very important as well, if you are thinking of moving to that kind of direction into market access, really keep thinking where to go, in which way, start developing your content perspective, at least for one country, start seeing what others are doing, and especially also important, maybe as a last bullet here, besides being open-minded, speak to people in the area, speak to people maybe even outside of the area, because at the end of the day, we can learn every day from every person. And finally, obviously, the key recommendation, but you're really listening to a good resource, I would say, listen to the Market Access podcast.
That was an episode of MAP, the Market Access podcast provided by Mars Market Access and Pricing Strategy, which is your healthcare consultancy in the German-speaking markets. MAP is available every second week with a new episode, so watch out. And in case you might have questions, contact me directly and or visit our website on www.marketaccess-pricingstrategy.de.